Welcome along then to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, and you're in the office, Steve. You're a busy man today.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, we've got a darts podcast that we recorded this morning, so we've gone darts to golf. I was expecting you to join me in the office, but your beloved greyhounds have taken over. So,
the injunction I've got in place permitted me to not be in the office. So
I remember.
So we have got the Racing Post Darts World Championship preview show going up today as well, also featuring Steve. So a double helping of Steve Palmer. We are here for the golf, of course. Do remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Get involved with us here. And of course, remember to smash that notification bell as well. So when we upload, you will know. So you'll know when the dart show goes up as well. How have you been, Steve?
Just surrendered. I've just surrendered to the fact that the Lord despises me. I think Scotty Scheffler's second shot at the 11th hole on Sunday. I don't know if you were tuning in, Dave. Scheffler's second shot to 11 just summed up how the last few weeks have gone. Since the Ryder Cup, we last hooked up face to face at the Ryder Cup, didn't we? Playing the virtual golf. Yeah, that seems like such a long time ago, probably because it is a long time ago. The Ryder Cup vibe has been replaced by this agony of the last few weeks. But we got three golf tournaments left this season. So two this week, one next week. We need to finish with a flourish.
I'm sure we can. Listen, it's not all been agony. Anyone who's has been punting on things going on in the jungle would be drawing.
Yes, good point. Well made, Dave. Angry Ginge. I didn't watch any of it, but I imagine there were emotional scenes. I heard he was crying quite a lot during it, wasn't he? Was he crying for his mum?
I didn't watch it. Sunday night, I was watching the snooker, the UK Championships. One of our producers here on the Racing Post, Sam Hart, did message me saying it's been the best season ever. And I said, listen, mate, I've not watched a single moment of it. But we drew, nonetheless, 3-1 Angry Ginge weighed in.
Well done, Dave. Well done. Now, I heard he was crying about missing his mum or something. So maybe that's, you show a bit of emotion and that probably clinched it. But brilliant tip. Brilliant tip. Well done.
Okay, right. Okay, well, no, it's not all been agony. And I'm sure, you know, class is permanent and all that, mate. We'll be back in the winner's enclosure with the golf. Let's look back then on last week's action. Three tournaments to get stuck into. We'll start in Australia first, where one of your old mates was a winner.
Yeah, I wonder whether Rasmus Nygaard-Pedersen was emerging from bins. I don't know whether you officially put him in your bin.
No, he's not made it into the bin. He's a winner, so he's not in the bin.
Well, this is it. I knew a few people were hoping to put him in their bin, but he shouldn't be in anyone's bins. I mean, it's a really top-class ball striker. It was a gutsy maiden win last week. Yeah, we wonder why he was making these trips to Australia. But he's a DP World Tour maiden until last week and was keen to get off the mark before he starts his PJ Tour adventure next year. So, I was pleased for Rasmus Nygaard-Pedersen. I was gutted, obviously, not to be on for that maiden win. It's been coming. It's been seriously coming. He was so impressive at the end of that DP World Tour Championship, wasn't he? When he needed that finishing kick to get his PGA Tour card. So, I think this lad's quality, when he putts well, he's really dangerous. Cameron Smith finally made a cut, Dave.
Boy, he putted beautifully as well.
Yeah. I mean, that putting touch remains. But we mentioned last week that he'd not made a cut all season. So when he got to the weekend last week, loosened him up a bit. But then that fragility showed at the death. He's obviously been lacking. He hasn't been playing in contention very much. And he bogeyed his final hole to get pit by Rasmus. Rasmus hit an amazing shot on the last. So, fascinating tournament. Obviously, very keen last week on the each way doubles and trebles. I did each way doubles and trebles on all the selections. 12 places on the Australian Open and the Nedbank. And, the Australian Open, just the ultimate tease, Dave. The ultimate tease. Ryan Fox, first round leader, bogeyed the last hole, the 72nd hole, to finish 14th. So dropping from dropping out of the top 12 was a disaster because I just needed something to activate the each way trebles. And you had Lucas Herbert. I don't know if you were following Lucas Herbert, Dave. He's gone from 8th place to triple bogeyed the final hole. So he's gone from 8th to 18th in the space of one hole. So Lucas Herbert didn't activate it. And then Wenyi Ding closed with a 74. So he tied 18th. So I thought I was going to get three in the top 12. And then they finished 14th, 18th, and 18th. So, the Australian Open was a test of character, Dave. I'll be honest.
Well, we saw Rory rocking up down there as well. As this is McIlroy's Magical World Tour.
Yeah, I mean, Rory McIlroy was a short price last week, finished 14th. It was all a bit scrappy. He made a very interesting comment just before the tournament started that he didn't think Royal Melbourne was the best course in Melbourne. So, he got very negative about the venue very quickly, which was really surprising because I thought it was one of the main reasons he was there to play the famous Royal Melbourne. I'm glad we didn't get involved in it. Yeah, one of the few things we got right last week was to avoid the short price favourites in the DP World Tour events. You had Rory McIlroy and then Victor Hovland in the Nedbank. And at least we avoided those two. But Australian Open, put it to bed.
Okay, well, a lovely little segue into the Nedbank then, which was won by Christopher Wrighton. What did you make of this one? 17 under par, Bradbury, and your mate Shaper up there as well.
Yeah, Christopher Wrighton. I mean, sensational golf to go clear. He's a 25-1 winner, 63, 69, 67, 5-shot lead going into Sunday. Then some serious bum squeaking on that back nine. I mean, I don't know if you were watching. I was home alone with me and Tommy Tiger and watched all the golf tournaments last week because the weather was terrible outside and the girls had gone to Brighton. So, we watched a lot of Christopher Wrighton. And Christopher Wrighton, to be fair to him, did really well to hold it together because that 5-shot lead went down to one. And he had the three hardest holes on the golf course to play, like 16, 17, 18. Really tough stretch. And he went par, par, par. Which I thought was heroic in the circumstances. So, yeah, the future looks really bright for Christopher Wrighton, 27-year-old Norwegian. Yeah, which remember we christened him the Skirlo champ of golf earlier in the year because he had these flying finishes. But then last week it was different. I mean, you know, Skirlo champ opened with a 63 and you thought they might as well just cancel the tournament. But, he won it a different way last week. And
he was on the par train.
He did really well over those final three holes. Yeah, Jaden Shaper. I mean, it would have been some serious trolling of myself and Sweet Spot followers if Neergaard Peterson and Jaden Shaper both won in the same week and we weren't on them. So I was so glad that Jaden Shaper didn't win that. He didn't do a lot wrong. We'll come to Jaden Shaper. He's playing again this week. More experience in the locker for him. Thomas Dietrich was our man who did best. Tied sixth with one other. Hopefully that was good enough for some viewers to collect on Dietrich. I know most people would have been on five places last week. But Dietrich played well on Sunday to finish sixth. Garrick Higo, the Higopotamus, Dave. Were you following the Higopotamus? My word. Played well for two rounds. Then a double bogey at the third in round three. Me and Tommy Tiger devastated to see him post a double bogey in at the start of round three. And then an eight. A Christmas snowman, Dave, in round four. A Christmas snowman he dropped from fifth place to 16th place over the weekend. And get this, I found out last week that he says he's not getting his hair cut until he wins. And you know what his hair looks like now? You know, he's potentially going to look like Rapunzel sometime in autumn next year, like because his hair's already down to here. Yeah, it's a bold thing to say, isn't it? If you pardon the pun, it's a bold thing to say because...
Well, it's like the lad we mentioned before, the Man United fan, who's not cutting his hair until they win five on the spin.
Absolutely, yeah. What's going to come first? I mean, yeah, the
Higgins... You're not going to cut your hair until Michael Thorbjørnsen wins a golf.
That's it. It's going to be a very hairy Higopotamus. Unless he gets his act together soon. So, the Higopotamus was a shame. Victor Hovland finished tied 23rd, very poor throughout. So, lessons to learn. We move on.
Yeah, but with bits of each way money along the way, mate, some weeks, if you can just almost wipe your mouth, you just live to fight another day.
It's a good point well made. And a commentator made that very point. We were talking about Michael Thorbjørnsen because you were saying it can be very expensive if you follow in and then he wins and you're not getting any money back. But if you keep collecting each way money along the way, you're all right. But
he's still in the bin.
I know he's in your bin. But I'm glad Neergaard Peterson is not in your bin. No. I assume Christopher Wrighton has gone nowhere near your bin because you love Skirlo champ. Will there ever be another Skirlo champ? Who knows?
Anything else to add from that event, Steve? Because we've got a third event to get onto.
I do apologize. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm out of the shed. I'm in the big smoke, Dave. I'm in the big smoke.
Bright lights, the bright lights.
Cycled from Henry Harwick's house, went past Big Ben again. He's really taken by these bikes. Is Henry Harwick.
Bikes and trains and buses
is his thing. And he said it was actually quicker to get to the office today on the bike than it would have been on any underground or any taxi. He said it was quicker than a taxi. I don't know whether I've been hoodwinked. He said a bike could be quicker than a taxi. Yeah. I believe him.
Traffic around the office is horrendous.
Yeah. So it's been a challenging day already. I apologize for any strange noises I'm making. It's just when I come out.
Listen, before we get onto the Hero World Challenge, I think I left you with going on Henry's. Was it his 40th? And you've clearly survived. How was it?
Yeah. Benidorm, massive fan of Benidorm, Dave. Yeah, you. I know you're not.
I have been.
I mean, I just thought it was like a real. Everyone there seemed so happy. Everyone was there to having fun. And I think the key to it was how cheap everything was. Everyone. Yeah, if you're paying €2 for a pint and you're paying €5 for a full English breakfast, why wouldn't you be happy? I saw everyone there just seemed so happy. I mean, I was only there for a very short period. Maybe some people get some doom and gloom at the end of the week. But
did you remember much of it? I mean, I don't remember much of. I went on a stag do, and I don't remember too much of it. But it's kind of
it's a big success. Big success.
I didn't need to go back there when I went. That was all.
Yeah, I can see why you would have been a bit put off by certain places. There's certain bits of Benidorm that are a bit hair and scary.
It's a big place to go and watch the Cheltenham Festival now.
Yes. James Milton did a very good feature on that, didn't he? I can see. It's just the cost of living. Lots of pensioners. So this has turned into a Benidorm special now. But why not? Lots of pensioners just wandering around. Like the average age of Benidorm must be very high. And I've discovered that. Because the heating bills are so high over here, a lot of people go over to Benidorm for 6 months
to save money
because they don't need. Yeah, because it's cheaper than being over here and having your heating.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah.
I mean, that just sums up the craziness of planet Earth currently, doesn't it? That people are doing that, but ruddy good idea.
Right. Okay. Well, you made it back anyway, so congratulations.
Yeah.
Right. Let's move on to the Hero World Challenge then. Playoff drama here. Matsuyama. Seeing off Norrin Straker and Scheffler were up there. We'll start with the winner, Matsuyama. Nice to see him back in the winner's enclosure.
Yeah, been keeping himself sharp recently. Yeah, played a lot of golf recently. Played Bay Current Classic, played Genesis Championship, played Dunlop Phoenix Open on the Japan Tour. So was massively on the radar due to his sharpness, but ruled him out. I don't know if you watched Sweet Spot last week. They ruled him out because I found out he cracked his driver in the Dunlop Phoenix. And, you know, his driving was really ropey on Saturday of the Hero, but the other three rounds, it was decent. So, obviously, hate myself with a passion for getting hung up on the crack driver. Me and Wazza were thrashing through the tournament. We ruled out 16 players. We had four on our shortlist. And of the four on the shortlist, Matsuyama was the biggest price. So, it was pretty stupid, in all honesty. And I apologize for not including the one with the biggest price. But I don't know what you were doing last Monday, Dave, probably on your sunbeds in Romford or whatever, but when the prices opened up on Scottie Scheffler on Monday, I was just so surprised they were so big. He's a general 7-4. You could get slightly bigger than that. So when those prices were offered on Monday, for me, it was like a 50-50 event, Scheffler against the field. If you want your percentage, 10 to 11 each of two. I just couldn't resist those offers, and I do apologise for not being able to resist. It was a classic case of I should have been able to resist, and I couldn't. But come Sunday morning, I'm on good terms with myself, Dave. He's odds on Sunday morning. I think I felt very confident on Sunday morning that he would get the job done, and I felt very confident until that 11th hole. I mean, if you haven't seen it, Dave, check it out, because it was one of those jaw dropping moments. I could not believe what I was seeing. He's taking driver off the deck. You know how hard that golf shot is, Dave. For professionals, it's hard. There's only one player, and I've been watching golf for like 47 years. There's only one player I've ever seen that's any good at it, and that was Colin Montgomery. Colin Montgomery.
Bubba Watson.
Yeah, Bubba Watson, not bad, but like massive banana shaped ones.
Yeah. There's only that's only the shot that springs to mind. Yeah.
There's only certain courses he could do it. Monty was amazing. He used to have the old Callaway Big Bertha. You're probably too young to remember the Callaway.
No, I used to have Big Bertha irons.
Did you have Big Bertha irons? Yeah, Monty, when he got the Callaway Big Bertha out, driver off the deck, it's like the shape of his swing. It worked for Monty. I've never seen anyone else it works for. Scotty Scheffler's got a new driver going last week. He's been testing it for ages, but the first time he's competing with it last week, I could not believe he's taking driver off the deck. And then Tiger Woods was just ruthless in the commentary box because Tiger Woods was commentating about 15 minutes
his
after
event,
that.
Right? He's got, you know, I just associate that event with him anyway.
Yeah, he was hosting and presenting the trophy, so he had a stint in the commentary box, and that was like 15 minutes after that shot, and they asked him what would he have done in that situation, because there's mud on the ball. Have I mentioned that? So there's mud on the ball, and he's saying driver off the deck. Yeah, this is a fella like whose course management is usually immaculate, is he? He doesn't make any course management errors. No. Yeah, it's one of his great strengths, him and Ted Scott. They do not make course management errors. They do not make serious mistakes. And I was just like, I thought, should have gone to Specsavers. I was like, that looks like the driver. That can't be the driver. And then it's like a really ropey duck hook into the bushes. And he's made six. He's made six on a par five. He should be picking up a shot on. And they asked Tiger what he would have done. And he said, I would have just hit a really low long iron, keeping it as low as possible, scuttle it along the fairway. Because when it's mud on the ball, you don't know what, yeah, get it. So it's such a high risk shot, and he didn't need to do that because he was close enough. So he made bogey six, and then he's angry, and he's gone pin hunting at the par three on the next, and he's bogeyed the next. So they back to back bogeys, and he's lost the tournament by two shots. And it's just just craziness that you don't expect from Scotty Scheffler.
No.
And his chipping was pretty ropey all week. It wasn't just those two, uncharacteristically poor chipping. Just an absolute disaster on the Scheffler. And then Cameron Young, Bliviac, 70, 64, 70. Then he opens up with three straight birdies out the gates to get right back in it on Sunday. So you're thinking this pattern's continuing, 70, 64, 70, 64. And 64 would have been enough to get your place money. But the pattern continued in a different way, Dave. 70, 64. 70-70. After the three early birdies, he didn't do enough. So, It is what it is. But, I apologise for not resisting on Scotty Scheffler.
Okay, well, dust yourself down, mate, because we're going again. We've got two tournaments this week, and we're going to start with the Alfred Dunhill Championship. And all the best there, because this one's not even at Leopard Creek.
Well, it's not at Leopard Creek, which is a real shame. I mean, Wazza would be disappointed because he loves watching his animals. He was talking last week about how much he was looking forward to the Ned Bank Challenge because of the wildlife strong there. But the wildlife is in a different parish at Leopard Creek, isn't it? And he's not going to get to see that. So I don't know what Wazza's going to. It's probably ruined Wazza's.
Listen, Christmas. If he wants to see some wildlife and animals, he just needs a night out in Romford, mate, because he'll see all sorts.
That is true. No, we'll get Wazza down. But it's a great shame because Leopard Creek is toasted, basically, unfortunately. I hope the wildlife's okay because they've had a very intense summer in South Africa, Dave. And the course condition is not good enough to host a DP World Tour event. So Leopard Creek's been toasted. It's probably the elephants have gone brown. They've had to move it for 1 year only.
So where are we and what do we know?
Yeah, you were at Royal Johannesburg, 7,146 yards, the east course at Royal Johannesburg, par 72, three par fives. So it's been at Leopard Creek, the Alfred Dunhill, since 2004. But Royal Johannesburg, just a one-off from the subs bench. You might remember this from the Joburg Open, Dave, because the east course.
Yeah.
Yes. The East Course staged three of the four rounds of the Joburg Open from 2007 through 2017. Parkland track, Kikuyu grass fairways, bent grass greens, clear, sunny, calm weather for the most part, potential for some thunder late on Sunday. Churning out greens and regulation has been the key to success at the East Course in the past. 156 players going to post. Place your bets by 4:20 a.m. on Thursday.
Okay, you said greens in regulations there, but have you got like an attribute for us? Accuracy we're going for?
It's quite it's quite a short Parkland track, and the scoring will be fairly low. It's been softened up. So yeah, a good all rounder, but I think you're gonna lead at least 20 under par to win this. Yeah, you're gonna have to hold your putts as well. Yeah, a good all rounder, Dave.
Okay, right, let's have a look at the market then. Christian Bezuidenhout is our market leader. You happy with that pronunciation?
It's a good effort, Dave. It's a good effort. I mean, the correct pronunciation is, of course, Christian Bezuidenhout.
Right, okay. Jaden Schaper next in. Angel Ayora, Brandon Gray, Dean Burmester, Louis Oosthuizen, Tristan the Piston Lawrence. So they're all there. They're all there. The nationals are there. How many in the team? Yeah.
We got five in the team, three at enormous prices.
Okay, and how many of the five are South African?
Oh, that's a good question, though. Sorry, my back's sort of letting go a little bit. I'm on a stool here. It's got no lumbar support. You've really left me in the lurch for not coming in. I hope you win some money.
Can you just stop moving because you're making all sorts of noises. Just statue still, please.
Sorry. Three South Africans in the five, yeah.
Okay, right. Who is the main selection then for the Alfred Dunhill Championship?
Casey Jarvis, sweet spot regular. While you were still in short trousers, Dave, we were tipping Casey Jarvis on the sweet spot. I've been touting this lad as a DP World Tour winner since the old king died. He's still only 22, turns 23 in July, won on the Challenge Tour in 2023. Last month, he won twice on the Sunshine Tour, the Hyundai Open, the Vodacom Origins of Golf Final. So full of form and confidence. Finished 10th last time out in another Sunshine Tour event the week before last. He won the South African Amateur Championship at this week's venue in 2020. He was awesome that week. He won the final 7-6. This just looks a fantastic breakthrough opportunity, DP World Tour breakthrough opportunity for Casey Jarvis.
And he's still only 20. How long has he been 22 for then?
Oh, bloody long time, yeah. Bloody long time. But, I mean, he was a teen terror. Like, well, you know, he won basically everything you could possibly win. So I'm making noises again.
Yeah.
I have to apologise for this at home when we're watching a drama.
Get a sound engineer into the studio. Just stop moving.
I'm sorry, darling. I'm making so many noises. Yeah. He, as a teenager, he basically won everything that you could win in South African amateur golf. So he's always been blessed with enormous talent. We've had some real roller coaster rides with Casey Jarvis in the past. He's matured. He's matured and he's ready to win. And he's surprisingly big price this week.
Right, here's the main tip then. So first one down and there's five of them. Who's next best?
Next best is another sweet spot regular. It's Jaden Schaper, who did not do much wrong on Sunday, Dave. I don't know if you were tuning in. It was a bogey-free 68. He put maximum pressure on Christopher Wrighton. Christopher Wrighton remarkably handled it, as I say, of those final 3 holes. But Schaper's ready to win. He's only 24. He's finished in the top 25 in his last 5 events. There's a consistency about him now. Yeah, I think this is a potential world beater. I think Jarvis and Schaper are both world-class. I think they're going to win better tournaments than the Alfred Dunhill in the years to come. And they're both course-proven. You mentioned Jarvis's win there in the South African Amateur. Schaper has excelled there in a professional event. The 2021 Kit Kat Group Pro-Am. It's a Sunshine Tour event. I know you like your Kit Kats, Dave.
No, they all want to win that one, yeah.
We all like our Kit Kats. Kit Kats. yeah, that was a bit of a break. That was a break for Schaper.
Because
he finished fifth in that. He finished fifth in that. And clearly he can handle Royal Johannesburg. So yeah, I see Jarvis against Schaper on Sunday. Yeah, a classic duel between two youngsters that both ready to win.
Okay, right. Who is the third pick?
Kieran Vincent, who won the Waterfall City Tournament of Champions at this week's venue, another Sunshine Tour event, in May this year. So Vincent has already held silver aloft on this course this year. That was a 3-round event. That was Vincent's second Sunshine Tour victory. He won on the Asian Tour in 2023. He's had some time on the LIV golf circuit, you might remember. So he spent enough time on the LIV circuit to have a considerable bank balance now. This is a 28-year-old, bundles of ability. He's got that big bank balance swagger that you're often talking about, Dave. There's been some rain in the build-up, as I mentioned. That will really suit Vincent. A very attacking player, very gung-ho player. Prefers soft ground, if we can just slip into racing post-speak. Yeah, really lively runner and attractive price, I think.
Okay, big price there. Are the prices getting bigger, Steve?
They are getting enormous, Dave.
We've still got two more to come. So who are they?
Yeah, they are getting enormous. Louis Alberts, who won the 2024 Waterfall City Tournament of Champions at this week's venue. And he won it, Dave, by a 7-shot margin. Yeah, just run that through your little Romford brain there. Yeah, he's won by 7 shots in a 3-round event. I mean, he absolutely dominated. 23 under par. I think Albert's be licking his lips at coming back here. He won a Sunshine Tour event at the end of September. He's won 3 Sunshine Tour events in total. He's 29 years of age, so worth chancing at a massive price. Yeah, we're talking enormous odds. And I apologize for describing your brain as little there, Dave. Obviously, it's enormous. It's as enormous as the odds of Louis Alberts.
Okay, right. One more to come. Who are we going with?
One more to come. Another big price one. Rhys Enoch, who is also a course winner. He won that 2021 Kit Kat Group Pro-Am that we were talking about at Royal Joburg East. He's won 3 times on the Sunshine Tour. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2019. A 37-year-old Welshman in tidy form was 10th in a Challenge Tour event in September, 9th in a Sunshine Tour event in October, 23rd on the Sunshine Tour last time out. And a real underachiever. You know, you speak to a lot of the lads on the pro circuit. He's always had a massive reputation, Rhys Enoch. Both the Enoch brothers have. I know plenty of players that have been on the circuit through the years, and they all mention how fantastic the Enoch brothers were. Rhys's brother, Ben, unfortunately, tragically died in a car accident in 2009. So Rhys has been carrying the grief from that and sustained his career heroically, really. But both of these lads were blessed with amazing talent. And I think Rhys Enoch, at 37, still has time to get in the higher grade and win better tournaments. He's that good. And he's been really disrespected this week on a course that he's proven upon.
Well, yeah, I've been scrolling down, Steve, even trying to find some of these players in the bend. So big prices. Let's talk about the players. Well, you're going with Jaden Schaper. What about the jolly then, Bezuidenhout?
Christian Bezuidenhout. Yeah, I just think at short prices, he's not one to play. He does get edgy in contention. You saw that last week in the Nedbank when he got right in the thick of things. Then he'd make an error. A quality player, accurate, tidy short game. But, you know, I can't play him at those short prices. If you said to me Bezuidenhout or Angel Ayora, I mean, Angel Ayora, you know my love for Angel Ayora, class act, but course debut this week, another short price. I mean, the bookmakers have been a bit stingy with the odds on those two. I'm going to avoid those two, but Jaden Schaper, I cannot resist at the short prices.
You do have love for a fair few golfers. Have you got hatred for any? Are there any players that you just will not back?
That's a good question, Dave.
You can't love everyone. I know, sure, you know, in an ideal world you can, but you can't.
Well, this is it. This is it. No, you've got to try and tolerate everyone, haven't you, Dave? That's the thing. Yeah, you don't have to love everyone, but you do have to tolerate everyone.
Is there anyone your tolerance levels are lower or higher than other players?
probably, Dave. Yeah, well, we'll discuss that next week if you deign to come to the office. Are you going to come in next week? We'll have a deep.
I'll bring a sound engineer with me as well, I think.
Oh, will you? Has this been an abysmal?
No, you're all right. No, it's all right. Just don't move. As long as you don't move, we're all good.
All right, no, I'll try and stay as still as possible for the remainder of this broadcast, Dave.
Let's move on to the Grant Thornton Invitational. For those that don't know, tell us what the hell it is and where it is, please, Steve.
Yeah, fascinating tournament. It's at the Gold Course, Tiburon Golf Club, Naples, Florida. So we got the men's tees and the women's tees. This is a mixed event, Men's tee, 7,382 yards. Women's tee, 6,595 yards. Par 72, four par fives. The Grant Thornton replaced the QBE shootout. The shootout moved to Tiburon in 2001, remained at Tiburon until 2022. So we had the inaugural Grant Thornton mixed pairs event in 2023. There's no rough at Tiburon. The fairways are generous. The course also hosts the CME Group Tour Championship on the LPGA Tour, like the season finale on the LPGA Tour. So that wasn't long ago. The format's important this week. This is a three-round event. Starts on Friday, 2:15 p.m. UK time. So we have the scramble on Friday. I don't know if you're a member of a golf club, Dave. You would have played all these formats at the in your members' competition. Yeah. So we've got a scramble on Friday. Both players hit. Best ball chosen after every shot. Yeah, it's impossible not to score well in the scramble. Foursomes on Saturday, so alternate shot, much more testing. Modified four ball on Sunday. Both players tee off. Then they switch balls for their second shots and play that ball until it's holed. So that's also fairly difficult. But, yeah, low scoring all the way. Sunny, pleasant weather expected. Light to moderate breezes. 16 teams of two going to post. No cut.
No cut. How many are we going for here?
Just one of the pairs.
Okay. Right. Well, just go straight into it then before we even mention the market and market principles. Who's the good thing?
Trying so hard to stay still, Dave. I mean, I'd be interested to watch this broadcast. Is it really
all
bad?
All right. No, we're all good. We're all good. We're all good.
Yeah, the beer belly. I can't keep the beer belly stable. That is going to wibble wobble around, all right? So there's nothing.
It's okay. We've not had any interference from you for some time. We're all good.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. The number one selection, the only selections, Nelly Korda and Denny McCarthy, the standout pair, in my humble opinion. Nelly Korda is the best female in attendance here. Form figures of 5'10", 8'5", 3". At this week's venue in the CME Group Tour Championship that I mentioned. She closed with rounds of 64, 65, 68 on this track last month. She's been finishing the LPGA Tour season with a wet sail, absolutely primed for the Grant Thornton, and playing with one of the best putters in the world. You know, what is not to like here? Korda and Denny McCarthy, they both live in Florida, playing in Florida this week. They played together in the QBE shootout in 2022. They were the youngest pair in that 2022 QBE, both making their debut, finished fifth. Good effort. Both of them tied fourth in 2023. Korda was playing with Tony Finau. McCarthy was playing with Megan Kang. Now they're joining up again together. Yeah, just imagine it, Dave. Korda's approach play. Nelly Korda's approach play is typically mesmeric. Yeah, put that together with McCarthy's putting. Yeah, this is a dreamy combo. Yeah, wide fairways off the tee. So, yeah, just it's just Merry Christmas all the way. This is the one day that you've been waiting for.
6-1 the field. I had a feeling in my water that he was going for the jolly. Nelly Korda, obviously a class act, which is why we jumped straight in. So you're going with... the standout pair there. Other notables? Any other pairings catch the eye?
Well, there's some interesting ones. There's no other pair appeals. This is just a one pair event for me. But there's certainly some interesting ones that we should talk about. I mean, Lottie Woad. Do you remember the excitement around Lottie Woad going into the Open this year? You know, Lottie Woad's the new sensation, and she's paired up with Luke Clanton, and Woad and Clanton both went to Florida State University. Clanton obviously supposed to be the new PGA Tour sensation, but he's played so badly since he turned pro. Yeah, it's really, really strange. You know, I think he signed a club deal. I remember he signed a club deal very close to the transition period, and maybe his advisors advised him badly there because, you know, his amateur form was amazing. His professional form has been terrible, but maybe a home state gig, relaxed home state gig with Lottie helping him along. That might help Clanton to find his form again. So they're certainly a pairing to keep your eye on. You got the 2023 pairing, Jason Day and Lydia Ko. They won this in 2023. Fantastic chemistry between these two. Lydia Code, you know, just sort of worships Jason Day, and then, you know, and vice versa. So yeah, the chemistry of that team, it deserves plenty of respect. Maybe they can repeat the win from 2 years ago. And then another fascinating combo is the defending champions, Jake Knapp and Patty Tavatanakit. They broke my heart last year because we were on Tom Kim and Atiyah Titikal, who they beat by a shot. But yeah, this is going to be a tough week for Jake Knapp, because Jake Knapp's girlfriend died very young in September, some sort of heart condition. So yeah, it's a sudden death of his girlfriend in September. Jake Knapp has not been seen since. He has entered a tournament, then withdrew before it started. So he's obviously testing to see if he's ready to come back to competition. You know, obviously he'd be mentally struggling. So he's going to ease his way back into competition through this event. So everyone will be pulling for Jake Knapp this week. If he defends his title with Patty Tavatanakit, everyone would be delighted. You know, that'll transcend betting, I would suggest.
Absolutely.
As hard-nosed punters, our money will be down on Calder and McCarthy.
Okay, right. They are the two events. Let me ask you if you've got a view. Someone asked me the other day if I've got a view on this, and I did not, particularly after the weekend. But is McIlroy a certainty for personality of the year?
Well, golf's got a terrible record in it, isn't it?
He's odds on to win it.
You can't trust the Great British public, I'm afraid to say.
Unless we're betting on the jungle.
Our current government sort of confirms that you cannot trust the Great British public to make good decisions. And I'm afraid to say Rory McIlroy is probably overwhelmingly deserving as the Sports Personality of the Year, but that doesn't guarantee he's going to be Sports Personality of the Year. And if you look at all the golfers through the dawn of time, a lot of golfers have deserved to win it and have not got it. I mean, I remember Darren Clarke, when Darren Clarke was a hero in the Ryder Cup there. You just go through the record books. Was this a commentator who asked this, was it?
No, it was
just a friend.
Punting friend, yeah.
I would urge him to go through the record books and see how badly golfers have done in it. Maybe it's something to do with the fact that all the golfs, you know, on Sky Sports and, you know, BBC don't really have much tournaments.
Does the BBC have any sport anymore?
It's getting really, don't get me started on that, Dave, because the fact I haven't been able to watch the Ashes with my son because I don't have that TNT or whatever the Ashes is on, it made me really angry. Because there was only a time like a decade or so ago where you had all these protected sports that had to be on certain channels. They've just thrown that out the window. They don't care about that. Yeah, my lad's a keen sportsman. I wanted to introduce him to the Ashes and I haven't been able to. Golfers, poor record in the Sports Personality of the Year. And F1 drivers, just ludicrously the other way. Formula One, which for me is just, you know, you either love it or you hate it, don't you? For me, it's just transport. It's just televised transport.
It's not for me either.
It's just dull. People obviously love it because you know your Damon Hills and your whoever's. They've got sports personalities awards filling their bedrooms. Yeah. Rory McIlroy should win it, shouldn't he?
McIlroy five, Chloe Kelly second in, Lando Norris, Hannah Hampton. And then at a double carpet, 33-1 is the nuke.
Yeah. Well, the nuke's very unlucky because it's always before the World Championship, isn't it? If you stage that event in January, middle of January, you'd have a very good chance. But obviously, his heroics will come before that's presented.
Recency bias. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Recency bias. I mean, McIlroy would get my vote, but then you just mentioned a F1 driver there, didn't you? I didn't even know Lando Norris was British until he won the other day, and then everyone's getting excited about it. I mean, Lando Norris would probably win it, wouldn't he? Because for some strange reason, F1 gets more respect than golf.
Yeah. And, well, there you go. If you've got a view on that, or maybe you're clutching McIlroy at big prices. Listen, there are people out there that get stuck into that sort of market as soon as McIlroy is kind of in the frame. Looking like he's going to win the Masters. That's kind of something that people reach for. If he wins that. So, you know, you can get... The prices are out there. So let us know if you did snap up any big McIlroy prices, and good luck to you if you did, or will he be beaten by transport? There you go, Steve Palmer. I'll see Formula One as transport.
I tip Ryan Giggs for that one. So I tip Ryan Giggs at 20-1 when Ryan Giggs won, because the Man United fans were going to come out in their droves. You really need to work out who's going to be voting for who. It doesn't matter what the right answer is. It matters who's going to be voting for it. And I don't think Ryan Giggs is going to be winning this year, that's for sure. I'm not certain who is going to win it.
Okay, right. Let's have a roundup of the tips then. 5 from one event, 1 from the other. We'll start with the Alfred Dunhill Championship.
Casey Jarvis, Jaden Shaper, Kieran Vincent, Louis Albert, and Reese Enoch.
And the Grant Thornton Invitational.
Not to be confused with Philip Albert, who's a very good centre half. Oh, yeah. Those were the days, Dave. Those were the days. Simple times. The Grant Thornton Invitational, Nelly Korda and Denny McCarthy.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, Steve. And good luck to you this evening as well. I've already drafted a letter to HR for you to send, because it's, of course, the Christmas party tonight. I'm not going to be in attendance, but I wish you well. Just take it easy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tiring already, to be honest. It's been such a long day with the various broadcasts and Henry Harbert getting me cycling through London. So, it's going to be a long night ahead. I think I'm best avoided. If you're attending tonight, Dave, do not come near me. All I want to talk about is Scheffler's second shot of the 11th. I'm just going to be one of those bores in the corner of the pub who just droning on about something negative. So Scotty Scheffler's second shot of the 11th. I still can't get my head around why he took that club, and I'll go to my grave wondering that.
Okay, well, it sounds like you'll make great company tonight then. So try and spin it around and be positive Palmer tonight, all right, and go steady, go easy.
Okay, we shall see, Dave. We shall see. I'll try not to disgrace myself anyway.
Okay, just for once. Right, okay, you out there, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.